And right now, we are joined by the host of the NFL Red Zone channel. You can follow him on Twitter at Scott Hansen. He played his college ball at Syracuse. This Sunday marks the 200th edition of NFL Red Zone, which launched way back on September 13th, 2009. Scott Hansen is my guest. Scott, great to have you back. How are you?
Good to be with you, Jim. Still rolling after all these years, and still rolling through 2020. As long as we got games, we're showing touchdowns.
Man, that is the truth, right? Not only do we still have games, but we have games on Wednesday. So before I get into Sunday and everything this weekend means to you and the Red Zone channel, what did you make of Wednesday afternoon football, Scott?
Well, I mean, the game itself left a lot to be desired. We obviously all know about the lack of personnel really on both sides. But you know what? I like Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin doesn't make any excuses. Neither does John Harbaugh. They're like, hey, we're going to play when they tell us we're going to play. And you can say it's unfair, and maybe it is to a certain degree. Maybe there's a gripe in Denver to be had because they had to play their game with no quarterbacks and all this. But it's pretty obvious to the NFL universe that the league is looking at the teams and saying, guys, if you got 11 of them, and they're healthy, and they tested negative, put helmets on them, and there's the football field, because we're playing this season and we're playing the games. Now, I don't think that the NFL is being willy-nilly and just throwing, safety to the side. The testing they've done is extraordinary and extensive, but the league is basically saying, we are not going to cancel a game short of everybody being wiped out by COVID. We are not canceling a game. So get ready, whatever day it is, whatever circumstance it is, whoever's taking the first snap for you at quarterback is, we're playing this game. And, it's going to happen. I was thankful to have something to do in the middle of the afternoon. I'm here in Los Angeles. We kicked off a little afternoon right here, and I had a buddy over, and we were like, hey, this is great. But hopefully not too much more Wednesday afternoon football.
Hey, man, it was weird. It was awesome. It was weird. I mean, 1240, yep. Scott, was really something. Scott Hansen joining us. Now, you and I have talked about your journey to the Red Zone channel, and now on Sunday, it is the 200th edition of NFL Red Zone. Earlier this week, you retweeted the opening from week one of the 09 season and the first ep. What do you remember about that day?
You know, it really is extraordinary, and of course, now that we're getting nostalgic about our 200th episode on NFL Red Zone, you go back to that first moment. Here are the first three things that I remember when I think about it. One was when I came on the air, I was like, Scott, don't screw this up, because this is going to live forever on video, because I really did feel that the channel was going to be a galactic success the way that it is. Because what's not to love, right? Every touchdown from every game, no commercials, 7 straight hours of football. Like, I would watch it, right, if I was sitting at home. So I figured it would be huge. And when I came on for that first on camera, I was like, do not flub up anything. Don't. If you make a mistake, it's going to live forever. Like, for the old timers in the audience, Lee Leonard, the first ever Sports Center anchor, back in 1979, coming on for the first ever Sports Center. All right, when ESPN does all their anniversaries, they always play that clip. And I remember thinking, Hansen, they're going to play this clip a decade from now, 2 decades from now, whatever. And I got through that initial on camera. And then the other thing that I remember about that game, it was Brett Favre's Minnesota Vikings debut. That was the big hype leading into it. We all remember the saga he put us through every summer, whether he was going to play or not play. But that was also the day that Kyle Orton made his Denver Bronco debut, and the Broncos and the Bengals played in a sloppy mishmash, no offense football game. The score was 7-6. With 11 seconds left to go in the fourth quarter, and Orton threw, just kind of chucked up a pass into double coverage. If you remember, the ball got tipped in the air, and Brandon Stokley ran underneath it and ran 87 yards for a touchdown to win the game with like 10 seconds left on the clock. And that was Broncos Bengals. That was getting no attention in the National Football League world at that time, but because of NFL Red Zone bouncing you around to the best parts of every game, our audience saw that live in real time, and we thought, wow, this is going to be awesome if we get moments like this. And that was the first ever, and it's still one of the greatest jaw-dropping plays on NFL Red Zone.
Scott Hansen joining us. Episode number 200 of NFL Red Zone is coming up this weekend. And Scott, I mentioned off the top that you played your college ball at Syracuse, and you and I have touched on your time there in the past, but I want to bring it up again because I want to talk to you about Marcus Paul. As many NFL fans know, he was the strength and conditioning coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys. He passed away suddenly last week. He was a star at Syracuse. What do you remember about meeting him the first time?
Yeah, All-American at Syracuse, and a guy, he showed me everything I needed to know about him the first time I met him, because you need to understand, we had 95 scholarship guys back then, and we had about 99 guys on the team, so I was one of four walk-ons, okay? I was the lowest man on the totem pole. I was Rudy, right, getting smashed in practice constantly. And Marcus and I actually never played together. I missed him by 1 year. So he left, but he was back on campus. And I remember him. I introduced myself because I wanted to meet a guy who's All-American, NFL player at the time. You know, and he looked me right in the eye. Some of my teammates on the team at the time had no time for me because I was a scrub walk-on. And he was like, hey, man, you work your best. You play hard. These coaches are going to get you right. You have an awesome time here, an awesome career here. Said it with a smile on his face. And I remember thinking, this guy, like, you know, he didn't need to have any time for me. He was an All-American and a draft pick. He's in the NFL. And so when I got into the NFL in my broadcasting career through the years, I would bump into him, whether he was at the Giants as a strength coach or the Cowboys. The last time I saw him was about 2 years ago in the spring. I was happened to be at the Star in Frisco, the Cowboys headquarters, and wandered into the weight room at one time, said a quick hi to him and whatnot. And when I heard the news, it was tough. It was tough last week to hear the news, because if you hear the name Marcus Paul, the real football fans will remember, okay, All-American at Syracuse and had a nice NFL career, but his impact on pro football, Jim, was the way he encouraged, inspired, and coached and motivated others, and it's a ripple effect. And you saw that on social media when he had his medical episode that ended up ultimately, unfortunately, leading to his death. But in that 24-hour period when we didn't know if he was going to live or die, all of these NFL players coming out with their memories of Marcus Paul, and he was not a star player in the NFL. He was not a superstar, and yet he impacted the game behind the scenes as much as some of the biggest names in pro football. And he's a great loss for the Syracuse football family, a great loss for the professional football world too.
Scott Hansen, my guest. I want to ask you one follow-up about that, Scott, because what you're talking about is, and you've made this point too, that there are just certain people in the NFL orbit that fans may not know, but those who do know, but they have a significant and major impact on the league and some star players in it. For those who don't know, how do you explain how those folks that fans don't know have that kind of impact on the game, and how do they impact it?
Well, like anything, I guess I would ask your audience to think about your workplace, and maybe not your workplace in 2020, because everybody is scattered these days, work from home, and you know, all the difficulties we've had, but consider your office, your workplace, your work environment with whatever your career is. 99.99% of it never gets talked about in public. And it might not even get talked about. The productivity that you do doesn't get talked about within your own workplace. But there are certain individuals that you know that are always bringing energy, enthusiasm, aptitude, and their job is to make other people in the office, in the business, better. Okay, the NFL is one of the most publicized businesses in our country, if not the world. And yet there are still, it's about relationships and it's about behind the scenes work. These guys play for 3 hours on Sunday. They're working for 60, 80 hours during the week to give you the best 3 hours that they possibly can. And Marcus Paul, a strength and conditioning coach, he spends more time with the football players for the Dallas Cowboys than some of the position coaches do. because he's with them all off season. There are obviously limits and restrictions on how much a football team can practice in the off season with OTAs and mini camps and stuff like that. The strength coach is with these guys all the time. And I've never heard a bad word said about Marcus Paul. And one last thing about it. When he collapsed, it's tough to even talk about, but when he collapsed, they shut the building down. They shut everything down. And it wasn't like they thought, you hear about a shutdown today because of COVID or something. It sent a ripple effect through the Dallas Cowboys to every corner of that massive, massive building that they have. And they didn't want to go on with their day because they were so concerned about this guy who had poured into these players' lives and into the people's franchises, in the franchise's lives so much. And again, just a sad time and a great loss. I'm thinking of and praying for his family.
Clearly a beloved figure. He is the host of the NFL Red Zone channel. You can follow him on Twitter at Scott Hansen. And it is a big weekend, Sunday marking the 200th edition of NFL Red Zone, which did launch back in September of 2009. Now, Scott, I don't need to tell you this, but because it's ep number 200, man, don't flub your line because they will be watching it for the next 200 years. You know this.
You got that right.
And you know this.
Put the pressure on me like that, Jim.
You know this.
Over 10,000 touchdowns. And wait, let me check my records here. Yep. Zero commercials. And that's our promise to each and every one of you who love the game way we do.
I love it. Listen, have a great weekend. It's a tremendous accomplishment. You should be very proud. I know you are. Have a great weekend with Scott, and I know you and I will talk again soon.
Thanks, Jim. Talk to you soon.
Scott Hansen, host of the NFL Red Zone channel. It's a great product. It is a great, great product. And he's, like you said, what's not to like? You see every single touchdown and no commercials. And you get it for 7 hours every weekend.